David Riddick, I mean, I think if the Leafs are down to Riddick in nut crunch and playoff time, there's probably a few things that have gone awry in advance, but if they need him to carry the ball, can they count on him? What did they get in this guy?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I got to tell you, I think it was a savvy move because this guy has proven that he can take the ball and run with it. You know, he's had a couple different opportunities in Calgary where he's been the 1A or 1B, and he's been quite comfortable doing it. The only knock on David Riddick has been that in each of the last three seasons, I'm not counting this season, but each of the last three seasons where he's kind of, you know, platooned, if you will, at the beginning of the season, he has been brilliant. As a matter of fact, last year, you know, I think people are probably all aware that he was an all-star. He made the all-star game. But in the second half of all three seasons, he faded significantly. And if you just look at his stats or his game logs, you'll see that there's a significant trend there. And, you know, the team wasn't sure if that was conditioning, if it was his mental approach. Whatever the case was, it was a very real thing, and it cost him any chance of getting any playoff time. So that's significant to point out, too. He's never played a playoff game. He's never started a playoff game in the NHL. He went in and relieved last year for one, you know, a fraction of one period, and the Flames gave up something like seven goals in that period, and their playoff season ended. So anyway, he doesn't have playoff experience, which I guess could be a little concerning, but he does have experience as the guy with all the pressure on him, and he's handled it quite well. And I'll tell you, the other thing you need to know about him, people in Toronto are going to fall in love with this guy. He's got personality to burn. He's a very emotional guy on the ice, particularly. He kisses his goalpost after the puck hits the goalpost. He's not shy to celebrate after a big win or even after a big save. So I think people are going to like how animated he is. He's a real character.
What's the mood around Calgary right now? You know, you lose Riddick, you lose Bennett. What, you know, you're not out of the race just yet, only 8 points behind Montreal. Is this one of those situations where you see, you know, Riddick go out the door, you see Bennett leave, and it's a little bit of a letdown and get ready for next year? Or is there still some optimism around the team?
Oh, God, no. There's you know, the letdown was over the last 3 weeks when they lost 8 of 9 games, you know, when it mattered most. So, you know, their season's over, and this team is, you know, just swimming in mediocrity right now. The players, nobody in this city would have thought that they were going to bolster their lineup, although Brad Treliving paid lip service to that yesterday, saying, you know, he wasn't throwing in the towel. And he considered adding to the team, but at the end of the day, he subtracted. Well, God, it was the right thing to do. I mean, the GM said he takes his cues from his players more than anything else. And the cues told him that it was time to change the coach a little while ago, so he did. And the cues have told him that this team's just not good enough to add anybody. And so he cashed in, I thought, significantly. To get a third rounder for David Riddick, you know, a backup goaltender who's not even having a great year, I think was significant. And then the other subtraction was Sam Bennett, who's been perennially frustrating. But they cashed in huge with a second rounder and a prospect who was drafted in the second round last year for a fourth liner. I mean, that's the biggest haul of the day yesterday. I mean, people in Calgary are talking about how he got the same return. They kind of got the same return that Taylor Hall got. Now, the difference is Taylor Hall is a pure rental, and Sam Bennett still has one more year left in term. But they cashed in entirely on Sam Bennett having a tremendous, and it's well-warranted. He is a playoff beast. In all four playoffs he's played in, four separate years, he may have been the best player on the Flames organization all 4 years. And that's saying something for a guy who's typically been a third liner for this team. So Florida added tremendous character and a playoff, proven playoff guy. He's not going to be a top sixer, but he's going to be a third liner who's going to really have an impact. So, yeah, big day for the Flames to get some big assets for some spare parts.
With Eric Francis, how deep's the cut this offseason? Like, if Goodrow's out the door, Ziggy has commented on his disappointment in the play of Sean Monahan. Like, how deep does this cut, and are these hockey trades? Because I can't imagine, Eric, that Daryl Sutter signed up in his late 50s for a full-on rebuild.
Oh, yeah. So to answer your question, I think they're going to be significant cuts, and I think it starts with those two guys right there. I think the big question is, you know, what's the market for these guys? I mean, everybody in the hockey world saw how horrific they've been this year. Everybody's seen how Johnny Gaudreau disappears every single playoffs because he's a perimeter player and can't, you know, affect significant change when the games matter most, when the games intensify, when the hitting gets a little heavier. This guy shies away from all of it. So, you know, the whole league sees that. And now Johnny Gaudreau is basically a one-year rental because he's 1 year away from walking away as a UFA. So, you know, the asset's been diminished tremendously in Johnny Gaudreau's case. It's been diminished tremendously in Sean Monahan's case. I think they'll shop them both heavily. But, you know, when you're selling distressed assets, be prepared for a very, very disappointing return. Now, that said, I don't think that this team in any way should think or will think that they're rebuilding. The word I keep using is an overhaul. They've still got a core of a team that I still think is very, very solid and can give you a chance to make the playoffs next year and even make some noise with Elias Lindholm, Dylan Dubé, Andrew Mangiapane, you know, Mark Giordano. They've got a very solid defensive core with, you know, Hanifin and Tanev. And then they've got, you know, their $6 million man in net, Jacob Markstrom, who's, you know, I think capable of being, you know, one of the top goalies in the league. So I don't think that they're going to be rebuilding by any stretch of the imagination. Retooling, I can use that word, but overhaul is probably the best one.
Of the top four in the North Division, who's built the best for the playoffs?
Oh, man, what a great question.
Just you know what market you're on in. Too, Eric. So
I know
sensitivities.
Well, kudos to the GM there and just giving his players every asset possible yesterday. You know, in Toronto, he's added depth, and that's all you can ask for if you're a Leaf player. You don't want him to affect, you know, shake up the core after you've had such a great year. He just added to the fringes. That's become a very deep team. God, I like the look of the Leafs, and you know they've really been impressive against the Flames this year. I like Winnipeg, too. I know everybody questions their defense, and they did address that a little bit yesterday. But, man, that top six is up there with any top six in the National Hockey League. And I know Toronto's got a damn good top six, but I'll put Winnipeg's up against Toronto's all day long. I really would. I think it's pretty comparable. And I think their goaltender, obviously, it speaks for his, you know, he's obviously very good. I think it's between those two teams. Edmonton doesn't have the depth, but they have the two best players on the planet. And apologies to Austin Matthews, but those two guys are both better than Austin Matthews. And I know I'm going to ruffle feathers when I say that, but I see Edmonton regularly. And hey, Matthews is the best goal scorer on the planet right now, but the best player in the world, I don't think anyone in Toronto, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of people will question it in Toronto, but you've got the former Hart Trophy winner and a guy who, you know, probably... Well, I don't know who's going to win it this year. It's a coin toss with McDavid and Matthews. So I'm treading on thin ice. I probably already put my foot through
Eric,
it.
Eric, you got less to worry about in terms of how Torontonians are going to react to what you just said. You're in Calgary praising Edmonton. I'd be worried about what Calgarians are going to say.
Yeah.
This gets back.
I got to go, guys. I got to shut up. I got to go. I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonton made some significant noises here based largely on those two guys. And their depth is better than we think. But Mike Smith's been lights out. But anyway, that's all I got to say about Edmonton.
It'd be just in closing, because we're up against it. I mean, we're hoping Riddick goes tonight. I mean, that'd be fun. Leafs Flames with a little David Riddick in goal for Toronto.
I'll give you a little insight. I touched base with David last night when he landed in Toronto. And he was pretty tired when he landed, and I wanted to talk to him. And he said, can we wait till Wednesday? And I said, well, you mean tomorrow, right, Tuesday? And he said, no, tomorrow's game day. So
yes.
So there's a little insight for you. I'd be shocked if David Riddick didn't start. I guess the only question is, are they going to be able to find some blue pads for him, or is he going to wear the red ones?